Well, there was a request that I speak about Lord Chaitanya while during these evening programs. But I was thinking I'd like to also go to Vrindavan. And there are some devotees here who probably haven't been to Vrindavan. And if you've been to Vrindavan, maybe you haven't been to Radha Kund. But I'd like to tomorrow evening go to Radha Kund. Would you like to go to Radha Kund? For the place where we are, we need a projector. Tomorrow? Yeah, sure, wall. Not here. Tomorrow. Okay, just advance notice. So, seeing our assembly of nice young Vaishnavis, you certainly outnumber the young Vaishnavas. When it comes time for marriage, what are we going to do? But there's a very nice pastime that I very much like, that's from Lord Chaitanya's childhood, that I thought our children would appreciate, and the adult children would also appreciate. And that's a pastime that has to do with Lord Chaitanya's... it's three things. It's his lila. His Prahlad. He's hearing about his pastime as a schoolboy. And as a schoolboy, he very quickly learned everything that his teachers had to teach. So very quickly he became an apprentice to his teacher. And he became such a fantastic apprentice to his teacher that all the other boys, all the parents, wanted their sons to enroll in his school because he was the best. Now I just have to find Vrindavan's Thakur. Chaitanya Bhagavat. Adikanda, chapter 12. I'm going to read, purposely I want to read rather than just narrate, because there's some details that if you miss the part of the beauty of the pastime is in the details. And it's also some appreciation for Vrindavan Das Thakur's position. When we read Chaitanya Lila in ISKCON commonly, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Prabhupada translated Chaitanya Charitamrita and wrote elaborate commentary. And who is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Krishna Das, Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita based on two primary sources. One was during the Navadvip portion of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. There was one devotee named Murari Gupta. Gupta indicates he was from a Vaidya family. He was a physician. And not only he was a physician, but he was a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And so he kept kadachas, or a diary, describing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as they happened. He wrote in his diary. And so that diary somehow made it into the hand of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, or at least a copy of it. And then, after Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip, where did he go? Puri, Jagannath Puri. And shortly after Lord Chaitanya arrived in Puri and then came back from his South India tour, Raghunath Das Goswami came to reside and become a disciple of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya placed Raghunath Das in the care of his personal secretary, Swarup Damodar. And because there were two Raghunaths, he was given the name the Raghunath of Swarup. And Raghunath was very, very extremely, besides austere, he was extremely humble. In fact, all the exalted devotees are extremely humble. And so he never directly spoke with Lord Chaitanya. But he would speak to Swarup Damodar, who would relay the message to Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya would instruct Raghunath through Swarup, and Swarup would relay the message to Raghunath. Because he felt himself unfit to directly speak with Lord Chaitanya, who he came to Puri to be the servant and disciple of. So the entire time that Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, he was under the care of Swarup Damodar. And these two associates of Swarup Damodar, of Lord Chaitanya, one, Swarup Damodar, and the other was Ramananda Roy. Any of you came on that South India tour that we went after Lord Chaitanya's visit to, or stay in Puri? He traveled to various pilgrimage places in South India. In one of the places, in fact, one of the first places we went to was where Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy on the bank of the Kuvari River. And there, the conversations between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya took place. And they're very elevated, very elevated. You have to fasten your seatbelt when you read that portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very, very elevated topics they discussed together. And later, Ramananda Roy was requested by Lord Chaitanya to come and reside with him in Puri. And so, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, those two, were constantly with Lord Chaitanya. Especially, all day long, but especially in the night time when the ecstasies of Lord Chaitanya went out of control. And so, Swarup Damodar, he would sing. Very, very beautiful singing voice. And he sang exactly the verses from the Bhagavatam that would enhance or augment the mood of love of Lord Chaitanya for that particular bhava that he was experiencing at the time. And Ramananda Roy would quote various verses from scripture because he was very, very learned in the scripture. And in this way, they intimately knew. Besides their erudition, their scholarship, they intimately knew the mood and the feelings of love of Lord Chaitanya. And Srup Damodar shared all that with Raghunath. So for 18 years, Raghunath Das had that association while the other Goswamis of Vrindavan were in Vrindavan. And when Raghunath, when Lord Chaitanya left the world, Raghunath didn't want to stay in the world. So he decided, because Lord Chaitanya had given him a Govardhan Shila, and he took it, that Lord Chaitanya is giving me residence at Govardhan, because the Shila of Govardhan and Govardhan Hill are none different. Lord Chaitanya blessed him, giving him residence in Vrindavan, and a garland of Gunja berries. Maybe you've seen them sometimes decorating Govardhan Shilas. They're little red berries that are very common in Vrindavan, but they just don't seem to grow anywhere else besides Vrindavan. So he took it that Lord Chaitanya was giving him Radharani's mercy, because Radharani garlands Govardhan Shila for his worship. And Raghunath Das went from Puri to go to Vrindavan to do two things: to see Govardhan Hill and then offer his respects to Rupa and Raghunath, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who he loved very much. And then his plan was to give up his body jumping off of Govardhan Hill. He didn't say it, but they knew his heart because they were so intimate with him. And they forbade him from doing this. They said, "We've been living in separation from Lord Chaitanya for 18 years, and you've been in his association for 18 years. So you stay here in Vrindavan and describe the pastimes of Krishna that we didn't get to hear. We don't know, because we were here in Vrindavan under his order, and you were with him under his order. So now we're giving you the order." You stay here and every day narrate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes for 4 hours every day, right under this tree. So he stayed at Radhakund. Maybe tomorrow we'll visit. Maybe. And we don't know if we'll get that far. Well, he stayed at Radhakund, and every day he narrated Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Puri. And one person in the audience was Krishnadas. Krishnadas Kaviraj. He was given the title Kaviraj because he was so expert at writing poetic, beautiful expressions, and very, very spiritually advanced. So everyone then requested Krishnadas, Kaviraj, you write it down. Because Raghunath remembers, and you'll remember because you heard it from him, but future generations, how will they know? So he was ordered by the senior Vaishnavas, and he went and accepted the blessings from them, and the blessings of the deities, particularly Madan Mohan, the deity of Sanatan Goswami, to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. But there was already a biography about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life existing amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Just like how many biographies of Prabhupada's life have been written so far? Many, many, many. Of course, Lilamrita is one of the foremost and the earliest ones, and very, very beautifully written, in my estimation, empowered by Krishna to beautifully describe Prabhupada's life. So during Lord Chaitanya's life, there were multiple biographies of Lord Chaitanya's life. One of them was known as Chaitanya Mangala. And then he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Lochan Das wrote Chaitanya Mangala, but there was already a Chaitanya Mangala. So Vrindavan Das Thakur's biography was given another name. It was previously Chaitanya Mangala, and it was called Chaitanya Bhagavat. The reason it was called Chaitanya Bhagavat is because it was understood that the author, Vrindavan Das Thakur, was the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And as the story of Krishna's life was Bhagavat Purana, the story of Chaitanya's Mahaprabhu's life was Chaitanya Bhagavat. So what I'm going to be reading from is Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who lived in Mayapur area. So many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's early days before he left to go to Puri were described by him. And it was the distinctions were before he was initiated up until the point of initiation, and then he became initiated, and before he left for Puri after he took sannyas, and then his life after sannyas, in those three divisions. So the pastime that I'm going to read is chapter 12 of Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And part of the reason for reading it is the detail, and part of the reason for reading it is the style of Vrindavan Das Thakur's writing. He was very clear who his audience was. It was the followers of Lord Chaitanya, and he didn't bother one hoot to try to verify what was the support behind what he wrote and spoke. He just spoke beautiful expressions glorifying Lord Chaitanya. It's very spontaneous in its nature, very sweet and loving and spontaneous. Whereas Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing for a broader audience. It's all the generations of people later, like today, who wouldn't know who is Lord Chaitanya, and there had to be support when he would say things. And he would give the scriptural background. Now, I don't know Bengali, but those that know Bengali say that lot of Chaitanya Charitamrita is like Sanskrit. It's high Bengali. And Vrindavan Das Thakur it actually was sung. All the verses under different meter and melody were sung, so that people that weren't literate, they could learn just by hearing the songs. And the different meter and the different melody would create a different mood, and the language would create a different mood, and that was how it was understood in Navadvipa. So this is a chapter called The Lord's Wandering Throughout Navadvipa as a young teacher, before he became a devotee, before he disclosed his mood as a lover of God, he's showing his mood as a staunch scholar, boy, challenging people, defeating everybody left and right. Here's the introduction by Bhaktisiddhanta. This is his commentary. Among the best of teachers, learned scholars, and Bhattacharyas of Navadvipa, none could stand before or defeat Nimai in debate. Nimai, along with his disciples, wandered the streets of Navadvipa like an independent lord. One day, by providence, Nimai met Mukunda on the path and asked him why he stayed away from him. Then Nimai told Mukunda that if he could not answer his question, he would not leave him alone. Knowing that Nimai had knowledge of only grammar, Mukunda resolved to silence him by asking him questions on Alankara. Alankara is grammatic is literary ornaments, embellishments of refined grammatical composition. Nimai, however, pointed out various Alankara faults while totally breaking to pieces Mukunda's poetic talent. Seeing Nimai's unlimited knowledge, Mukunda was astonished and resolved, if such an intelligent person becomes a devotee of Krishna, I would never leave his association. On another day, when Gadadhar Pandit was met by Nimai, he asked him the symptoms of liberation. So supposing you were asked, what are the symptoms of liberation? The symptoms of a liberated soul. When Gadadhar told the Lord the symptoms of liberation according to the conclusions of Nyaya Shastras, the Lord pointed out various faults. When Gadadhar Pandit said, mitigation of excessive miseries is the symptom of liberation, Mahaprabhu, the master of Saraswati, refuted it. Every afternoon, Nimai discussed the Shastras with students on the bank of the Ganges. This is just a summary. There's details and details and details, and he would, like an elephant, he'd go roaming the streets with his students and challenge somebody and then defeat them and challenge somebody and defeat them and challenge somebody and defeat them on any subject matter because he's the Supreme Lord. The purpose of the Leela was twofold. One was to show the inconclusive nature of knowing things by empiric scholarship. He would sometimes challenge people. I'm going to state a premise, see if you can refute it. And he would give the premise, and they couldn't refute it. And then he would refute it and establish a counter premise and ask them to refute the counter premise. And they couldn't refute it. And then he'd refute the counter premise and reestablish the first premise and ask them to refute it. And they couldn't refute it. And then he'd refute it and establish a third premise. And in this way, people's head would spin, showing tarka apratishta. You can't establish things through logic and reason conclusively. One person may be a better arguer than another person. And then another person comes along and refutes that and makes another argument. And so goes scholarship in this world. It's not just in Vedic times, it's in current times, it's all times. So one was that. You can't know the absolute truth simply by logic, nyaya. The previous scholarship of nyaya was held by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's a whole other story. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya learned the science of nyaya and then came back to Navadvip, he became respected as the most learned scholar because he already had the other five darshans, and now he was complete with six. So that's when Prataparudra invited him to come from Navadvip to go to Puri and become the chief priest of his whole kingdom. And when Lord Chaitanya came, he defeated him. Because nyaya or logic and reason is inconclusive. But the other reason was so that when Lord Chaitanya became a devotee, he exhibited his pastimes as a devotee. Those who are intellectuals couldn't say, oh, you're doing this just because you're a weak-minded sentimentalist. You can't get it together to be an intellectual, so you're being a weak-minded sentimentalist and going for all this bhakti stuff. He was renowned as the most eminent scholar in all of Navadvip, even as a child, and demonstrated again and again and again and again and again with he was never defeated. Except once. That's because he wanted to be defeated. Should I tell that story? Who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya? It was Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri was Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. And Ishwarapuri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri was in the line of Madhvacharya. But he was very unique in the line of Madhvacharya in that two things. One primary thing is that he manifested in this world a stage of love that previously had not been exhibited in the Madhva line. And that was the spontaneous ecstasy. And the second part is in the mood of the gopis. Because when you go to Udupi, anyone here been to Udupi? Very nice place. And next to Udupi Krishna, is there a form of Radharani standing next to him? No. It's just Udupi Krishna. And in each of the other eight mats, in addition to Udupi Krishna, some of the principal Leela avatars, same, the forms of the Lord, without the form of Devi or his consort standing next to him, because that's the way in which the Lord was worshipped, following Madhva line. And even when Madhavendra Puri received the Gopal deity, he remained Gopal, not Radha Gopal, but Gopal. But his mood of devotion to Gopal was in the mood of spontaneous love of the gopis towards Krishna. That was his mood of love. He manifested, as Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, he manifested that seed. Prior to Lord Chaitanya's developing further that seed, so Ishwara Puri was carrying that same mood, which he received from Madhavendra Puri. And he had written one book. Title I can't remember, Krishna Lilamrita or something like that. Krishna's Pastimes in Vrindavan was the subject matter. And when Ishwara Puri came, he was visiting holy places. So he visited Navadvipa, which was a known holy place at that time and still is. And when he went, he was in a similar, very humble mood. He didn't want to disclose his identity. But as soon as he went to Advaitacharya's place where he was worshipping his deity, immediately, even before either of them spoke to each other, Ishwara Puri, just by his presence, could be understood by Advaitacharya, his ecstatic condition of love. So as soon as he finished worshipping his deity, he came and discussed with Ishwara Puri, and for the whole night they went on discussing Krishna Katha together, because they were both initiated by the same spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Advaitacharya was an initiated disciple of Madhavendra Puri, as was Ishwara Puri. So he stayed for some time in Navadvipa, and the young student who assisted him was Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit was very renounced from childhood and was very devoted from childhood. And he had such affection for Lord Chaitanya, natural affection for Lord Chaitanya, but he couldn't stand with Lord Chaitanya, couldn't stand to be away from Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't stand to be with him because he was always arguing and arguing and arguing and debating and challenging and, you know, like an intellectual bully. And he had no interest in any of those things. But there was a natural attraction between the two, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself and Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani herself, in Gaura Leela as Gadadhar Pandit. So there was a natural attraction. So he couldn't stand to be without him and couldn't stand to be with him. It was too disturbing. But Ishwara Puri had this spontaneous love of Radha. So there was a natural attraction between Gadadhar Pandit and Ishwara Puri. And every day, every evening, Ishwara Puri would recite from his writing. And Gadadhar Pandit would sit and listen. So one day they were walking along the bank of the Ganges, Ishwara Puri and Gadadhar Pandit, in Ishwarapuri saw a large group of students under a very large tree by the bank of the Ganges, shade tree. So Ishwarapuri said, "Who is that? Who, all those students? Who's the teacher?" He said, "Oh, that's Nimai Pandit." He said, "Oh, I've heard his name. He's very scholarly in grammar and he's a teacher, right?" "Yes, he's the best teacher. So can you introduce me?" So Ishwarapuri was introduced by Gadadhar Pandit to Nimai Pandit, and immediately Nimai Pandit said, "My father, Jagannath Mishra, and my mother, Sachi Mata, would be greatly honored if you would come to our home and take your meal. Can you please honor, grace our home and accept their invitation?" So he came, and at once, service, because it was proper for a young Brahmin to do this, he received the sadhu, Ishwarapuri, with great honor and washed his feet, and Mother Sachi's food was taken, and Mother Sachi's cooking was better than anyone's cooking. Anyone's cooking combined, you're all maybe good cooks, but Mother Sachi's cooking can't be matched. So he said to Nimai, "I understand that you're very accomplished in grammar. So I have a service. I would like you to listen every evening to the composition of my book, and if you find some mistake, then you can make some correction." And Nimai said, "Writings of a saint of your caliber, there can't be anything wrong." He said, "No, I just, please do this as a service." So he accepted the service, and every day he heard from Ishwarapuri his descriptions of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That's how their association began. Then after the passage of many, many days, one day, Nimai heard something that he said to Ishwarapuri, "You might want to consider changing something, because this is normally done, spoken in this way, and you've spoken in a different way. The detail of Sanskrit, I don't know." So Ishwarapuri said, "Let me consider." And the next morning, when they were together, Ishwarapuri said, "I've been thinking about this all night, and what I wrote was right. And the reason is, it should be like this, not like that." Now, all of the other pastimes with Nimai Pandit, he would defeat the other party, and then defeat what he defeated and establish something else and argue and argue and argue. But he accepted defeat. He said, "I'm happy to be defeated by you. What you say is right." So this is a pastime of Lord Chaitanya as a child, exhibiting his scholarly lila for these two purposes, transcendental purposes. One day the Lord manifested transformations of ecstatic love on the pretext of he had a disorder of his bodily errors. Being illusioned by Yogamaya, the Lord's friends and relatives who had natural affection for him applied various medicinal oils on the Lord's head. Sometimes the Lord, who always enjoys pastimes, proudly and loudly disclosed the truth about himself. He would declare, "I am the source of all the creation, and I'm the controller of all the demigods," and declarations like that. And they thought he's off his rocker. After noontime, then they would go sporting in the Ganges along with his students. And then the Lord would go home, worship his deity, offer water to Tulsi, circumambulate, okay. Then he would go into the marketplace. So that's where I'm going to read from, just so that you get the mood. The Lord said, after studying in this way for a long while, I will approach a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav, and after understanding topics of the spiritual world, I will follow him. In other words, I have a desire to first become expert in studies and then cultivate pure Vaishnav principles. After saying this, the Lord smiled at his servants. By his influence, however, no one could recognize him. In this way, Nimai attracted the heart of everyone. There was no one who escaped his power of attraction. Sometimes the Lord sat on the bank of the Ganges, and sometimes he wandered in the streets of Navadvip. Wherever the residents saw the Lord, they would welcome him with great respect. Now mind you, they're seeing him as a young, wrangling, argumentative Brahmin, but so beautiful and so attractive. When the ladies saw Gaura, they said, "Here is Cupid himself. Let women receive such a treasure, birth after birth." All the scholars saw him as equal to Brahaspati, and the elderly men offered obeisances at his feet. The yogis saw the Lord as the personification of mystic perfection, and the miscreants saw him as the personification of death. Sri Gaurasundar was so extraordinarily beautiful that the ladies, who are fond of beauty, were overwhelmed on seeing his unmatched beauty. He was so brilliantly learned that the scholars saw him as the intelligent spiritual master Brahaspati. The yogis, that's the commentary. Although everyone heard about the Lord's pride, they still loved him very dearly. Even the avanas felt love for the Lord, for the Lord's characteristic is to show mercy to all living entities. The Lord of Vaikuntha taught his students in the courtyard of the fortunate Mukunda Sanjaya. Arguments, counter-arguments, establishing and refuting the meaning of a sutra, these were all explained in various ways by the son of Mother Sachi. Although they could not understand the Lord's explanations, the fortunate Mukunda Sanjaya and his family all floated in waves of ecstasy. In order to vanquish the conceit of those who were proud of their knowledge, Vishvambar, the Lord of Vaikuntha and the Master of Saraswati, drove away all materialism and anxieties by the waves of his scholastic pastimes and captured their hearts. One day, on the pretext of sickness due to excessive gas, the Lord manifested transformations of ecstatic love. The Lord subtly uttered some incomprehensible words, and then he rolled on the ground laughing and nearly damaged the house. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of intoxicating beverage of love of Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground, and dancing in ecstasy. He roared loudly and challenged everyone like a wrestler, and then he beat whoever he could catch. Again and again his limbs became stunned, and then he fell unconscious in such a way that the people were frightened. Buddhimanta Khan, Mukunda Sanjaya, and their associates all came to the Lord's house. The Lord performs various pastimes by his own sweet will. How can he be cured by some external remedies? All the limbs of the Lord shivered. He yelled loudly in such a way that everyone was frightened. Then he declared, "I am the Lord of all. I maintain the universe. Therefore, I am named Vishvambar. I am the Supreme Lord, but no one recognizes me." Saying this, the Lord tottered, and everyone tried to catch him. In this way, the Lord manifested himself on the pretext of gastric disorder, yet by the influence of his illusory energy, no one could understand him. Someone said, "He's been possessed by a demon." Someone else said, "This is the work of a witch." Another said, "Since he's always speaking, it is certainly a gastric disorder." In this way, everyone gave different opinions, But by the influence of the Lord's illusory potency, no one could understand the truth. They applied various medicated oils on the Lord's head and then filled a wooden tub with oil and rubbed it all over his body. Then the Lord began to laugh, as if a terrible gastric disorder had actually infected him. While thus enjoying his pastimes according to his own will, the Lord became normal, as if relieved of his gastric disorder. Everyone then chanted the names of Hari in ecstasy, and in jubilation they distributed cloth to one another without discrimination. Everyone was pleased to hear about the Lord's recovery, and they blessed him. Such a scholar should live a long life. In this way, the Lord of Vaikuntha enjoyed his pastimes. Who can understand those pastimes unless the Lord reveals them? When all the Vaishnavas saw the Lord, they told him, "Dear Nimai, please worship the lotus feet of Krishna. This body is temporary. It may be vanquished in the next moment. But you are a sober person. What can we teach you?" Nimai smiled at the Vaishnavas and offered them obeisances and left for school with his students. Nimai taught his students in the Chandi Mandap within the courtyard of the fortune of Mukunda Sanjaya. As the Lord began to teach, his head was smeared with fragrant medicated oil that was given by some fortunate person. Nimai, the life of the universe, sat and taught in the midst of many fortunate students. I'm trying to get to the stage where after school, what he did. Okay, they took their lunch break and they went swimming. Then after watching and circumambulating Tulsi, he sat down to eat, took some rest, One day Nimai went to the house of a weaver, and the weaver respectfully offered him obeisances. Nimai said, "Please bring one nice piece of cloth." And the weaver immediately brought some cloth. Nimai then said, "What is the price of this cloth?" The weaver replied, "Give me whatever you like." After settling the price, the Lord said, "I don't have any money right now." The weaver then said, "Oh, Gosai, you can give me in 10 or 15 days. You can take the cloth and happily wear it. You can pay me whenever you please." After mercifully glancing at the weaver, Nimai continued to the house of a cowherd. Nimai sat down on his veranda and began to make fun of the activities of the brahmanas before Vaishnava. He said, "Oh, son, bring me some milk and yogurt. Today, I'm going to accept charity from your house." The cowherd boys thought Nimai looked just like Cupid. They respectfully offered him an asana. They began to joke with him and address him as uncle. One of them said, "Come, uncle, let us go eat some rice." Then one of them took Nimai on his shoulder and carried him to his house. Another said, "Don't you remember how you previously ate all the rice in my house?" Although the cowherd boys didn't realize it, by the grace of the transcendental goddess of learning Saraswati, whatever they spoke was true. Meanwhile, Nimai simply smiled at their words. All the gopas then happily offered Nimai some milk, ghee, yogurt, cream, and butter. After being satisfied by the gopas, Nimai went to the house of a perfume merchant. The merchant offered Nimai his respectful obeisances, and Nimai said, "Oh, brother, bring me some of your best perfume." The perfume merchant immediately brought some of his best perfume, and the son of Sachi inquired, "What is the price?" The merchant replied, "You know, my dear sir, is it befitting for me to take money from you? Today, you apply this oil and go home. If after taking bath tomorrow the fragrance still remains, then you may pay me whatever you like." After saying this, the merchant happily applied the perfume on the body of the Lord. The Lord is the supersoul of all living entities, and therefore he attracts the mind of all. Who is not attracted by seeing his beautiful form? Vishvambar bestowed his mercy on the merchant and then continued to the house of a florist. When the florist saw Nimai most beautiful form, he offered him obeisances and a place to sit. Imai said, O florist, I would like a nice garland, but I have no money with me. Appreciating that Imai had the symptoms of a spiritually perfect soul, the florist said, You don't need to pay. After saying this, the florist garlanded the Lord, who smiled in the company of his students. After casting his merciful glance on the florist, Gauranga went to the house of the betel nut merchant. The merchant saw Nimai's form as more enchanting than that of Cupid. He took dust from Nimai's feet and offered him a place to sit. The merchant said, It's my great fortune that you've come to my house, insignificant as I am. In full satisfaction, without being satisfied, the merchant then offered betel nut to the Lord, who smiled. The Lord then said, Why did you give me betel without payment? The merchant replied, I was inspired to. The Lord smiled on hearing the merchant's reply, and he chewed the betel nut with great satisfaction. The merchant then devotedly offered Nimai some pan, camphor, and other spices, free of cost. After blessing the merchant, Nimai smiled as he continued wandering the streets of Navadvip. The city of Navadvip was just like Mathura. Millions of people belonging to different castes lived there. For the pleasure of the Lord, the Creator had previously supplied Navadvip with all opulences. Sri Sachinandana was now enjoying the same pastimes that Krishna had previously enjoyed while wandering the streets of Mathura. Thereafter, Nimai visited the house of a conch merchant who offered the Lord due respect. Nimai said, Dear brother, let me see some beautiful conches. But alas, how will I take? I have no money. Then the merchant placed a beautiful conch in Nimai's hand and offered him obeisances. The merchant said, O Gosai, take this conch home with you. You may pay me later or not, it doesn't matter. Pleased by the words of the conch merchant, the Lord glanced mercifully on him and departed. In this way, the Lord visited every house in Navadvip. For this reason, even today, the residents in Navadvip attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The supremely independent Lord Gaurachandra then went to the house of an astrologer. As the astrologer saw the effulgence of the Lord, he offered his humble obeisances. The Lord asked him, I've heard that you are a good astrologer. Could you please tell me who I was in my previous birth? The pious astrologer agreed to the Lord's request, and he began to chant the Gopal mantra within his mind. At that moment, the astrologer saw a beautiful blackish personality with four hands, holding the conch, disc, club, and lotus flower. His chest was decorated with a Sri Vatsa and the brilliantly effulgent Kastuba jewel. He saw the Lord in the prison cell being offered prayers by his parents at the dead of night. He then saw Vasudev carrying the Lord that night to Gokula, Goloka. Gokula. The astrologer again saw the Lord as an enchanting two-armed naked child with a string of small bells around his waist and butter in his two hands. The astrologer saw his worshipable Lord decorated with all the symptoms that he had meditated on. His worshipable deity was Gopal. So he saw him in his meditation. He then again saw the beautiful threefold bending form of the Lord playing on his flute and surrounded on all sides by the gopis who were singing and playing various musical instruments. After seeing this wonderful vision, the astrologer opened his eyes and saw Gauranga standing before him. Then he again entered into meditation. The astrologer said, Oh, Bal Gopal, please listen. Quickly show me who this Brahmana was. The astrologer then saw the Lord with a greenish dhruva grass complexion, holding a bow in his hand and sitting on a royal throne. Thereafter he saw the Lord In the middle of the waters of devastation, he had a wonderful form of boar, and he held the earth on his tusks. He then saw the Lord as Nrsimha. Although he appeared most ferocious, he was the ultimate well-wisher of his devotees. Next, he saw the form of Vamana, waiting to deceive Bali at his sacrifice. Then he saw the form of Matsya, happily sporting in the waters of devastation. The pious astrologer then saw the intoxicated form of Lord Balaram, holding a plow and club in his hand. Next, he saw the form of Jagannath with Balaram on his right and Subhadra in between. In this way, the astrologer saw the Lord's various incarnations, but due to the Lord's illusory energy, he was unable to ascertain the meaning of what he had seen. The astrologer was struck with wonder, and he thought, I think that this Brahmana is expert at chanting mantras. Otherwise, he may be a demigod who has come disguised as a Brahmana to test me. I see a supernatural effulgence emanating from the body of this Brahmana. Perhaps he has come to discredit me as an astrologer? The Lord smiled and asked the thoughtful astrologer, Who am I? What did you see? Tell me everything in detail. The astrologer said, You please go home for now. I will tell you everything in the afternoon after I peacefully chant my mantra. Smiling, the Lord agreed to the astrologer's request and went to the house of his dear devotee, Sridhar. So those of you that have been to Navadvipa or Mayapur, the city of Navadvipa is on the other side of the Ganges, and the residence of Sridhar was on the same side of the Ganges as Lord Chaitanya's home. So after going to Navadvipa, he came back to his home but went to visit his dear friend Sridhar. In a very similar mood as he was interacting with all of the other merchants, he was interacting with Sridhar, but in a very loving way. Sridhar was very dear to the Lord's heart, and the Lord would therefore visit him every day on various pretexts. The Lord would tease Sridhar in the course of their regular conversations, which would last for an hour or two every day. When Sridhar saw that Nimai had arrived, he offered him obeisances and a place to sit. Sridhar was always peaceful in his behavior, while Nimai enjoyed the role of an agitated young man. Nimai said, Sridhar, you always chant the name of Hari. So why are you always afflicted by poverty? Can you tell me why, after serving the Lord of Lakshmi, you do not get sufficient food and clothes? Sridhar replied, At least I'm not starving, and whether small or large, I'm still wearing some cloth. The Lord said, But I see your cloth is mended in 10 places, and the roof of your cottage has no straw. Look at the other people. They worship Chandi or Vishahadi, so they have no scarcity for food or cloth. Sridhar then replied, O Brahmana, what you say is indeed correct, yet the time passes equally for everyone. The king has jewels in his house, and he eats opulent food. Meanwhile, the birds live in trees. Yet time passes equally for everyone, as they enjoy the fruits of their previous activities by the will of the Lord. The Lord then said, You have great wealth that you are secretly enjoying. I will soon disclose this to everyone. Then how will you cheat us? It has a double meaning. His great wealth was his love for Krishna. And this is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has his commentary, but Prabhupada would teach like this. The austerity is the wealth of a Brahmana. Have you heard that phrase before? austerity is the wealth of a brahmana, which sounds contradictory, because if you live with austerity, it means you don't have anything, or you have very little. Austerity is the wealth of the brahmana means when one's attraction for sense gratification diminishes and diminishes and diminishes. What is it that's sustaining your life and your happiness? It's the subtle inner happiness of Brahmagyan, spiritual knowledge. And the Vaishnava Brahmana is their happiness and their loving relationship with the Personality of Godhead. And that happiness is the greatest of all treasures. So here's Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary where he's paraphrasing. The Lord said, "You are already very rich, so there is no need for you to accumulate external mundane wealth. Therefore, you do not consider external worldly scarcity as poverty. One who is engaged in the service of the fully omnipotent Lord cannot have any weakness or scarcity at all. After a few days, I reveal to the human society that is in ignorance of the position of the glories of a Vaishnava that the Vaishnavas are the sole proprietors of all wealth. It will no longer remain secret that the Vaishnavas are situated on the topmost platform and are the proprietors of everything, including all opulences. I will soon disclose this to all the foolish, ignorant people of the world." Sridhar said, "O Pandit, please go home now. It's not proper for you to argue." The Lord said, "I'm not going to leave you so easily. First tell me what you'll give me." Doesn't even say for what price. Sridhar said, "I maintain myself by selling leaf cups. So tell me, what can I give you, Gosai?" The Lord said, "Let your hidden treasure remain for now. I'll take that later. For now, give me some bananas, banana flowers, and banana stalks free of charge. Then I won't argue with you." Sridhar thought, "This Brahmin is very aggressive. I'm afraid that one day he will beat me. But even if he beats me, what can I do to a Brahmana? At the same time, I can't supply him free of charge every day. Anyway, whatever the Brahmana takes by force or deceit, that is my good fortune. So I'll continue to give him every day." After thinking this way, Sridhar said, "Listen, Gosai, don't worry about money. I'll happily give you some bananas, banana flowers, leaf cups, banana stalks, but please don't fight with me." The Lord said, "Good. Then I won't fight anymore. But see that I get good quality bananas and banana stalks." You're talking like a Vaishya. To a Vaishya who is not interested in Vaishya things. He's interested in devotional things, but he's teasing him in this way. The Lord daily used Sridhar's leaf cups as he ate sabjis made from Sridhar's plantains, banana flowers, and banana stalks. Whenever a squash grew on the roof of Sridhar's cottage, the Lord would eat it, cooked with milk and black pepper. The Lord then said, "Tell me, what do you think of me? After you answer this, I'll go home." Sridhar replied, "You are a Brahmana, a portion of Lord Vishnu." The Lord said, "You don't know. Actually, I'm from a Gopa family. Although you see me as the son of a Brahmana, I consider myself a cowherd boy." Sridhar smiled at the Lord's words, but he could not recognize him due to the Lord's illusory energy. The Lord then said, "Sridhar, let me tell you the truth. The glories of your Ganges are due to me." Sridhar replied, "Nimai Pandit, aren't you afraid of insulting the Ganges in this way? One is supposed to be sober when he grows up. But I see that you are restless, and your restlessness has doubled. After joking with Siddhartha in this way, Lord Gauranga returned home. And this was a daily exchange with Sridhar Pandit, Sridhar, Kolavichar Sridhar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed these pastimes with his students, with the merchants in Navadvip, and with people in general, from the position of a young Brahmin teacher and scholar. Very beautiful in feature, and in Vedic culture, people naturally respect one who is qualified like that, a qualified Brahmana. And so because of their respect for his position, he engaged them in devotional service. But he did it in a very, according to their position, a very loving way. But his especial affection went to Sridhar. The whole of all of this is to give us a picture of his mood, but especially to show the affection that the Lord has for one who has pure qualities like Sridhar. Later, when Lord Chaitanya revealed his identity as the personality of Godhead, there was in the house of, after he became initiated by Ishwarapuri, and then he returned to Navadvip, they began kirtan every night at the house of Srivas Pandit, one of the members of our Panchatattva. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Bho Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas, Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So at the house of Srivas Pandit, they would have wonderful kirtan. And the kirtan was done privately, because at least in the beginning, Lord Chaitanya was insistent only qualified persons could participate. So there was some talk by those that weren't allowed in. They would stand outside the gate of Srivas. You've been to his place. And they stand outside the gate and criticize. These people, they're making so much clamor and noise. They're simply intoxicated, wailing and crying and shouting. We know the real truth. They're just worshippers of Goddess Chandi. And they're making so much disturbance. The king is soon going to come here and boatloads of soldiers and destroy the whole of Navadvip. And they started speaking like that publicly. You know how that rumor mill goes. And Srivas Pandit was in great anxiety, because he took the responsibility for my happiness. The whole of Navadvip is going to be destroyed by the king's soldiers. It wasn't just his happiness, it was Lord Chaitanya's desire to propagate the chanting of the holy name. So this rumor thing came to the ear of Lord Chaitanya. So one day, he was walking along the bank of the Ganges, and he saw on the other side of the Ganges some cows that were grazing. And he immediately went into the mood of Vrindavan. And he was now Krishna in Vrindavan, and there were the cows along the Jamuna, and he went in a roar, running straight for Srivas Pandit's house. And when he reached Srivas Pandit's house, he was in the middle of his deity worship. And those of you that have done deity worship, you know when you're worshipping the deity, you don't stop worshipping the deity. See, the deity comes off the altar, and you worship the deity, and then you don't interrupt it. It's like when you're chanting Gayatri, you don't interrupt until you complete it. So Lord Chaitanya came in, and Srivas Pandit was worshipping his deities. Lord Chaitanya went and sat right on the altar where the deity was. but now off the altar where Srivas is worshipping. And he demanded Srivas's attention. He said, Srivas, come here at once. I am that Supreme Lord. And you're in a big anxiety because you hear that the king's soldiers are going to come soon and destroy the whole of Navadvipa because of our kirtans. But I tell you, Srivas, I am all powerful. I will go to the court of the king and I'll challenge him. I'll bring all of your mullahs and all the priests and all of the, whatever the names of those the people are in the Muslim faith, and have them induce one person to come to the stage of ecstatic love, and they won't be able to do it. And then I'll challenge them. I'll take wild animals and bring them into the courtroom and convince them to chant the holy name of the Lord, and they'll all loudly chant the holy name of the Lord. And Srivas, don't doubt that I can do this. I can do this. Bring your daughter. So he brought his daughter and said, chant the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy and cry and call out the name of the Lord in ecstasy. And at once she called out the name of the Lord in ecstasy and was crying and crying. And Srivas just fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and said, I have no anxiety anymore. I'm convinced. You're the Supreme Lord. You've just been hiding your identity. Because you want us to come to the stage of love for Krishna. But you are that same. I feel completely safe. One other time Lord Chaitanya exhibited, it's the same Leela that we sing at Gaura Arti, the Mahaprakash Leela, where again Lord Chaitanya sat on the throne and was being worshipped. And after that worship, after the arti, he said to everybody, worship me. Bring all the arti paraphernalia and worship me. And they did it. And then after the kirtan completed, he one by one, he brought all the devotees forward and told them about their spiritual identity. He told them about events that took place prior to his even being born. Who was the devotee? One devotee, he said, do you remember before I was born, the Muslim soldiers had come and you were afraid for the safety of your daughters, that they may be violated? And so you went to the Ganges to cross the Ganges, but there was no boat. And then suddenly there was a boat. Do you remember that? I was the boatman. And I took you across the Ganges. And the devotee fainted. Because the Lord came to protect his devotee. And then on and on and on, and devotee after devotee after devotee. And finally Lord Chaitanya said, someone go to the home of Kolavichar Sridhar. But it was the dead of night. It was midnight. He said, don't worry. Just listen to the sound of the holy name, because he's up all night chanting the holy name loudly. Now there's some scriptural evidence that the chanting of the holy name should be chanted audibly, not silently, like some people say. Just follow the direction of his voice and you'll find him. And Sridhar didn't want to come because he was very humble. But finally he came before the Supreme Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sridhar, ask me for some benediction. I don't want any benediction. I'll offer you all mystic powers. No, I don't want mystic powers. I'll offer you all the riches in the whole universe. No, I don't want any riches. I'll give you, make you the king of a whole planet. No, I don't want any kingdom. Just keep me at your lotus feet, and if it brings you happiness to tease me as you always do every day, then so be it, and I'll be the person who you're always teasing, and whatever makes you happy, that's what I want. Just let me be in your gauge, in your service in some way. For the rest of my life and eternally, please keep me at your lotus feet. That's the happiness of a Vaishnav. And such a Vaishnav is so dear to Lord Chaitanya. And this is the platform of love, with the happiness of the beloved. is our happiness. And that's a nice romantic idea of this world, but its fulfillment is possible only in the Supreme, because the soul needs satisfaction, not just the mind and the senses, and the sense of having a feeling for another person. Its perfection, its fulfillment is found in love of God. And that is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. So though he appeared as a young Brahmin boy and sometimes teasing Kolavachar Sridhar and different ways of interacting with so many personalities, he was the fulfillment of all of their desires. And the principal means to come into that state of consciousness once again is through the chanting of the holy name. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching, and his leelas are very sublime and very attractive, filled with spiritual potency and lesson imparting. Especially his latter pastime. But his childish pastimes are also very, very charming. And someday, as you become more experienced in reading Srila Prabhupada's books, that day will come when you want to also read Chaitanya Charitamrita and in turn Chaitanya Bhagavat and these wonderful literatures that describe Lord Chaitanya and his wonderful pastimes. So tomorrow we'll go to Radhakund. And the pictures are very nice. Some devotees that just came back from Vrindavan, they brought Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. Some of you have been to Vrindavan Yatra with us. He joined us some days. So he's just completed four or six parts of visits to different places in Vrindavan with film and still photos and his narration. And one of the places, one of the DVDs is visiting Radhakund. I just finished listening to it, and that's why I'm inspired to speak about Radhakund. It's such a nice, transcendentally wonderful place. With pictures, we'll go there tomorrow. Okay, so any questions or comments? Gaura Leela? Yes, Suja?
I have two comments.
Okay, I can hear you. Speak up. I'm just getting some water.
It was very nice and pleasing to hear from you again, Mahaprabhu's Leela. I felt like I'm visualizing all the pastimes again. My first comment is, like, I was wondering about this fortunate of the astrologer who was seeing all the pastimes in the form of the Mahaprabhu. Like, how he's so more fortunate to get to see all that. And the other one is, we have Kolavachar Sridhar pastime. So I feel like most of the exalted personalities exhibit childness. Like, I was even remembering one of your emails of Srila Prabhupada, like, you know, with the stick he was making the dog. Making it to when he shows the stick, the dog would bark something like, and then he would laugh. One of the email you send it to all of us.
I'm listening.
I was trying to see that type of silence in the exalted personality. Sometimes they show all that thing. So it was very nice to hear all that. Like, we also enjoy to hear that. One of my questions, the last one is. It looks like Mahaprabhu has a schedule, you know, in Puri and also in Navadvip. Like, every day morning he goes here and then
yes.
he
Yes.
So what type of, that I do not know the details, like is there any specific skills he followed in Puri and also in Nadi?
No, there was a schedule, but it was different in the two places. His leelas were different. In Navadvip, he was a teacher. And grihastha. As a grihastha Brahmin, he maintained his household through teaching. And as a sannyasi, he didn't have a household to maintain. And he did follow a regular routine. Part of that routine was he would rise very early and attend the first morning worship of Lord Jagannath. And then from the pujaris, he would receive some prasad of Lord Jagannath. And then he would go visit Haridas Thakur at Siddha Bokul and spend some time with Haridas Thakur. And then he would go to the Tota Gopinath temple and associate with Gadadhar Pandit. And hear Srimad Bhagavatam, was like, you know, 10 Mangal Arati and chant japa and the Bhagavatam class. That was his routine in the morning. And then he would take his midday bath in the sea and have kirtan in the afternoon with the devotees and discuss topics of Krishna with Ramananda Roy and Srupa Damodar in the evening, in confidential mood. Yes.
Maharaj, regarding, like you were saying, Lord Chaitanya was revealing the identities of all the devotees. We did not know who Kolavitra Sridhar was.
We don't know who Kolavitra Sridhar is? You want to know who was he in Krishna Leela?
Yeah.
That's your question?
Yeah.
I want to be sure. I would want to look it up, and I can look it up. My Sudama Brahman is what I think, just from the nature of their exchange. But let me just look it up. Gauraganadesh Deepika. And the author is Kavi Karnapur. No. The cowherd boy named Kusumasava. The cowherd boy named Kusumasava, who joked with Lord Krishna and made him laugh in Brajabhumi, appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as the learned Brahmana. Wasn't a learned Brahmana, but learned Brahmana named Kolavitra Sridhar. That's what Gauraganadesh Deepika says. Okay? Kusumasava. Yes?
You were talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing, calling the knee to chant.
Yes.
Holy name and she really chanted.
Yes.
And then animals, So I was just wondering, through the different succession, the instruction in the same, but why that doesn't really move the heart and that kind of chanting.
I can't follow what you're saying.
Of man not feeling the same experience as Narayana.
Why you're not? Because I'm not Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya had that. He's the Supreme Lord. And just by his saying so, Narayani, chant in ecstasy of love of God. She did. So there's two differences. You're not Narayani and I'm not Lord Chaitanya. I'm just saying, chant attentively. Well, all of those personalities who are taking part in Lord Chaitanya's Leela are in that category. I'll look up who Narayani was in Goro, in Krishna Leela. Go ahead, say.
These personalities in Lord Chaitanya's Leela are Nitya Siddha. They're never conditioned by material energy. They come here for the Lord's pastime, but they are eternally in these positions. They don't come down like us, become conditioned. So they just enter into these activities with the Lord.
So I was also wondering about the animals when you went to the park.
Yeah, just like in Vrindavan, there are so many animals. The birds, the cows. The cows, when they see Krishna, they don't just see Krishna like an ordinary animal. They see Krishna with such deep love. They take him into their heart and they're embracing him. And the gopis feel great feeling about that. They appreciate very much how the cows love Krishna so dearly. So the animals are also extraordinary.
Okay, here's two verses from Gaura Gonadesh Topeka. Ambika, the nurse who fed the infant Krishna with her own breast milk in Braja, appeared during Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Malani Devi, the wife of Srivas Pandit, and the daughter Kilambika, who had been Ambika's sister in Braja, who had been accustomed to eating the remnants of foodstuff eaten by Lord Krishna, appeared during Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Narayani Devi. Ambika's sister. Yes? Of course. You want to hear? What do you ask? Do you want to know? Are there pastimes of Lord Nityananda mentioned?
Yes,
there are.
Another day.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Little kirtan?